Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we begin with a question. Actually, we begin with the question of the 20th and 21st centuries. Who am I? Who am I? The questions in earlier centuries were different, but beginning in the 20th century, who am I became the central question of Western civilization. In literature, we saw it in works ranging from Don Quixote to Hamlet, from Lord of the Rings in movies to The Hunger Games. All focus on this question, who am I? In music, one of my favorite bands, The Who. It made Peter Townsend, who was their lead writer, still is their lead writer, has made a career out of asking that question. And it begins with the name of the band, The Who. The Who. Then there's their songs. Early ones, Am I a Boy or Am I a Girl? Middle period ones, Can You See the Real Me? And finally, Who Are You? Back to movies, the great chameleon Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau, Chauncey Gardner, just those names, don't those conjure up funny movies to you? There's a host of others. And Sellers would inhabit these characters and would become them and animate them and make you believe in them. And he would disappear into these characters. Biographer Peter Evans says that Sellers played so many different roles that sometimes he wasn't even sure of his own identity. Approached by a fan one day who said to him, "Are you Peter Sellers?" He replied briskly, "Not today." And he walked on. Lily Tomlin, remember Lily Tomlin? Ernestine? Remember her character? Ernestine brings some real focus to this question. You see, Lily, as Ernestine says, "I've always wanted to be somebody, but I see now I should have been more specific." Jesus tells us this morning that Lily is right. Lily is right. Being specific is important, very important, as it turns out. It says who we are, our character, will become manifest in how we are, the manner of our living. Who we are, our character, becomes manifest in how we are, the manner of our living. You will know my people, Jesus says, by their fruit. By their fruit. He asks a good question. Do good trees produce good fruit? Bad trees, bad fruit? Can one produce the other? The answer is no, obviously. Good trees will produce good fruit, bad trees, bad fruit. We can often mistake the tree by the shape of its leaves, but we can never mistake its fruit, can we? One would never mistake a prickly pear for an apple tree, at least not more than once. All of this, which reminds me of a song written by an almost forgotten songwriter named Will Holt in the late 50s, but sung much more famously in the early 60s by Trini Lopez, Lemon Tree. Remember that song? Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. That's just what Jesus is talking about, isn't he? With those trees and with our fruit. And the Bible's bookended by images of trees and fruit. We begin with that tree in the garden. You know which tree I'm talking about. And we end with the tree of life in that other garden, the garden described in Revelation. That tree, the tree of life, is producing its own fruit month by month, says the scripture. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Good trees produce good fruit. That message is sent again and again. So we're not surprised when Paul picks up the imagery in Galatians and he first sets up this opposition between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit. For Paul, it's again a question of bad trees and good trees. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the spirit. The works of the flesh, which essentially are ego-driven. They're our ego initiative. He says that these are both obvious and unwelcome. He says this, the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And things like these. Lloyd Ogilvy, Presbyterian pastor and former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, refers to the terrible menace of the flesh. And Paul himself speaks to their savage and seductive power in Romans. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Again, this opposition, the good tree and the fruit, the bad tree and the fruit. In our text this morning says that these two, the spirit of the flesh and the spirit of, these two, the living by the spirit and the living by the flesh, the desires of the flesh, are in opposition to one another. Who will rescue me from the body of death? Asked Paul. Wretched man that I am. The answer is, of course, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is God's initiative, well away from our ego initiative, and which produces fruit of a very, very different character. The fruit of the Spirit comes like a breath of fresh air after that awful reading of those works of the flesh. Here it comes, hear it again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then Paul, having described those, put those out there for us, gives us some really good news. He says that the opposition between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit are not a contest among equals. Yes, fleshly desires will still militate for what they will. No question about that, he says. However, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, will always prevail. Always prevail. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, he says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Praise be to God. The works of the flesh, you see, are products of cultural adaptation or perhaps cultural accommodation. They include individual achievement. They include competitiveness, efficiency, self-sufficiency, personal happiness, and the satisfaction of base desires. All of those works of the flesh. These pervasive values are promoted by the smug and powerful institutions of our mass culture. We don't have to look far to find encouragement for these. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, is really the embodiment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It reveals our distinctiveness as His disciples. And it's promoted by our abandonment to the Lord who is Himself at work within us. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, says the Apostle Paul. All we need do is open our hearts to reveal Him, to reveal those fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the development of Christian character, which reflects the life of the Creator in whose image we have been made. The fruit of the Spirit reflects that image dwelling within us. Jesus never, never said his people would be recognizable by their power or by their wealth or by their position. He never said they'd be identifiable by their opinions or doctrines or theological viewpoints. He insisted instead that his followers would be evident by their fruit. By their fruit. You will know them by their fruit, he says, exactly. So here's the question for the morning. What kind of fruit do you bear? When you think about yourself, what kind of fruit do you bear? What kind of fruit do you share? How does the world experience you? Is your fruit, is it firm and ripe to the touch? Or is it hard with immaturity? Or pulpy and soft with rot? How's your fruit? Is it lush and beautiful to the eye, glowing with health? Or is it spotted and cancerous, its luster dulled by disease? How's your fruit? Is it rich and sweet to the taste? Or is it thin and bitter? How is your fruit? The quality of our fruit depends entirely upon the quality of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, he's the gardener. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. A life that grows in loving Jesus Christ begins to look like Jesus Christ. Again, thanks be to God. Listen to the Apostle Paul. After all, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Do you get that? We are being transformed step by step, day by day, into the image of Jesus Christ. From one degree of glory to another. So is your life fruitful? How do you answer that this morning? Is your life fruitful? Do those who experience you experience the presence of Jesus Christ within you? Now, if you're dissatisfied with your answer to this question, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Good fruit is not a product, you see. It's a blessing. It's a blessing long in coming, eagerly awaited. Any of you who have ever maintained a garden, any of you who have ever maintained a fruit tree, know about that patience thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly, and you wait. And then one day, though, a bud or a blossom appears on that tree. Lo and behold, great excitement. You run into the house, find your partner, your spouse, your friend, your children. You say, come, look, come see this. It's glorious. I have waited, and the fruit is here. Time goes by, and that small, immature fruitlet, as it's called, takes its place. The place of the flower becomes the place of the fruit. And then under God's provision of wind and rain and sun, it eventually grows to full size. Oh, what excitement we have then. Look at that strawberry. Still, however, more time goes by until it comes to the fullness of God's intention for it and it ripens into mature fruit. And we celebrate that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit we're going to be working at cultivating in these coming weeks. Those are the fruit we're going to be attending to. May God bless us as they grow and mature within us under the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. You see, Christ tells us that he doesn't want us to just be anybody. As Lily Tomlin observes, he wants us to be somebody specific, somebody who looks just like him. From one degree of glory to another. We're going to be talking about these specific aspects of Christian character, these fruit of the Spirit, in these coming weeks. But for the time being, let's just join together in praying that the Spirit of God may be rising up within us, renewing as sap within each spring-laden branch within us. And that in the power and the grace of Jesus Christ, we might come to bear good fruit capable of nourishing a starving world. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be so with us. Amen.